What do you think played into making Portland a weird destination on the map?
Well, it was I'll use a geeky reference here. It's kind of like in Lord of the Rings when you've got the Ring of Power and you attract the gaze of the lidless eye, and that's sort of the attention of the nation and the media. And for a hot minute there, Portland was the city, and we were sort of the nation's darling. And it was also kind of a different sociopolitical climate at that time too, where people weren't as up in arms about different things, and we I felt like maybe we were a little bit more or less divided as a country, and we had time to more collectively look at things to appreciate. And Portland at that time sort of stuck up as something this like, oh, there's this thing we have in here in America, and I don't think we've given it enough attention over the years, but hey, maybe there is something to Portland. And then you see things like Portlandia emerge, and then you can argue when the tipping point was and where we are now on that scale. But it was an interesting evolution to kind of be here through that time and see that progression from just Portland being its own thing to everyone talking about it to us now sort of trying to tackle our new identity and figure out what that means and where we go from here.
What is it about Portland where the virtues of inclusivity, sustainability, supporting local, and embracing your weird has been able to still be tangible in the air despite 82 people a day moving here at one point?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. But the fact that it has persisted makes you, at least for me, it makes me value it a little bit more, and it makes it stand out as something that hey, I want to make sure that Portland continues to be that place. The example I always give is that when I came here in 2007 and started being the Unipiper, and then that was a great experience for me, and I think that Portland and the city that it was instrumental in my journey and my success here. And I want to see Portland remain that place where the next Unipiper or whoever that is or whatever they do, I want them to have that same chance that I had.
Yeah. How do you think you would have fared had you tried the Unipiper persona in your own hometown?
I think it would have probably been a little bit more of a dead-end street. I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, which definitely does not have that same free-spirited mindset that we have here in Portland. And I absolutely always point to Portland as like you, in my mind, you can't really separate Portland from the Unipiper. It's just like part of my identity to the core. So I don't think I would have had the same life journey, and maybe I would have done the Unipiper for a year and been like, well, that was fun,
Yeah.
let's move on to something else now.
Yeah.
But there's something about Portland where it's like, heck, I'm 12, 13 years in now, and I see no end in sight, and it's just been a blast.
Yeah. And so obviously Portland has a way of attracting a lot of people who are embracing their inner weird. And for a lot of performers, it's a safe space for you to practice your art. When did you first realize that you had a case of the weird?
I think Portland, I don't think I ever saw what I was doing as weird myself. I was just doing what I thought I wanted to do. And but when I came to Portland, and then I think it was seeing other people do things that I thought seemed a little bit weird, and then there was this whole phrase of keep Portland weird, and seeing other people do that led me to kind of see that, oh, I guess from a certain perspective, what I'm doing could be seen as weird. And if these people are doing that stuff, and everyone likes it here in Portland, then it's probably okay for me to do my thing.
So the stage was set for the UniPiper to rise in Portland. What did the creation story of the UniPiper look like?
Do you want the comic book origin story or the real origin
story? The more dramatic one.
Well, I was bitten by a radioactive unicycle. No. There was this other UniPiper, and you know, I accidentally killed him, and then I inherited all of his powers. Wait, that's not it either. True story. I found a unicycle in a dumpster and picked that up and taught myself to ride. And it was at the time that happened, I was also learning to play the bagpipes because I had seen a flyer that said free bagpipe lessons.
This was in Richmond, Virginia?
It wasn't in Richmond. It was where I was going to school, west of Richmond in Charlottesville.
Got it.
And so I had these, for a couple of years, I had these two seemingly disparate skills without any intent of ever combining them. But then I guess as I became better on the unicycle, at some point it crossed my mind that maybe they could work together. And then once I realized that they worked really well together, I was like, wow, this is fun. And this is something that I've not seen anyone else ever do. And I felt like I had, you know, like my thing. And I kind of took that and ran with it. And it was fun. And then it, in Portland, took on even more of a life of its own. And I'm still... You know, I never once had a plan for what I was attempting to accomplish with this other than just fulfilling some innate desire to express my creative whatever it is deep down inside.
You used a Spider-Man reference earlier, but being bit by a radioactive unicycle. One of my favorite scenes in Spider-Man is when he's first developing his powers and trying on like different costumes and going out into the world and seeing what kind of results he gets.
Yeah.
How, like, what was the process of figuring out the look of the UniPiper and the persona of the UniPiper?
Yeah, people, first of all, it was absolutely no coincidence that I used a Spider-Man reference there. Like, Spider-Man... it was a huge influence on me growing up, and the whole tale of Peter Parker and how you could be, you know, this geeky kid, you know, who struggled growing up and then have this other persona that goes on to do great things. That was always fascinating to me. So you know, maybe it was the UniPiper is some me living out some sort of deep childhood fantasy now. But I'm sorry, how did the costume of the UniPiper come to be? So people do often ask me, like, where this whole thing came from, and they're like, how did you ever get the idea? And I'm like, man, if I had the brain power to have this fully formed idea all at once, that would be absolutely something. But, you know, sadly, I did not wake up one day and be like, I know what I'm going to do. I need a unicycle, quick, bagpipes, and fire. Like, these things, put them together. So it was, you know, I started with the bagpipes, and that was fun, and then learned to ride the unicycle, and did that for a while until... Like, I don't ever want to do something and then be bored of it. Or I don't want to ever run the UniPiper into the ground to a place where I don't get any joy out of it anymore. So I always like to tweak things and push them in new ways that keep me interested and invested. So that's kind of been what's been steering my path. It was the idea... it was actually somebody watching me perform one time with just the unicycle and just the bagpipes. And then afterwards they came up to me and said, as a joke, I'm assuming, they were like, that's impressive, but, where's the fire? Literally that was what gave me the idea for, like, maybe, you know, flame shooting bagpipes would be pretty cool. I went in that direction and, you know, at some point, when I learned to play Star Wars on the bagpipes, and then the costume was, natural next step. And so I'm always trying to think of what could be next, what else could I incorporate?
So it all came together in retrospect, like things naturally followed, just out of random coincidences in your surroundings and suggestions by the people who saw you perform.
Yeah. So in a way, the UniPiper is just a, result of environmental influences and just my life.
What is it about embracing people's inner calling or inner weird that is so important to the community at large?
Because it's when you do and are able to embrace those feelings and take those risks on those ideas that aren't a guaranteed success, that you see innovation and you see cities do things that push them to the forefront of everything from, you know, arts and creativity to social justice and environmentalism, you name it. It's those kind of people that are now, granted, not all of those ideas are going to work. But, you know, the ones that do are going to stick around and then hopefully spread to other places. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Portland's not perfect, but, you know, there's plenty of great things about Portland that I think the country probably would be better off if they would take a page or two from our Portland book.
Right. So if people were more open to embracing their imaginations and taking these subconscious ideas more seriously, like, we see a lot more innovation in the environment, and innovation can be very progressive.
Right.
Okay. And so do you feel that Portland's weird is endangered?
Absolutely, I do. I think we have this very strong foundation that's not going to be changed overnight. But, you know, I've been here and noticed particularly over the past 3 or 4 years that Portland just does not seem to be as weird as it once was. Now, there's lots of people probably not living in Portland that the mere suggestion that you need to keep Portland weird is ridiculous, and that, oh, Portland will always be weird. And, you know, but being right here in the heart of it, I can clearly see that's not the case. So that's why for a number of years now, I've felt like that there should be like a Keep Portland Weird Foundation, you know, out there. So, something that was a little bit formalized that would bring people together in a concerted effort to make sure that we don't lose touch of this thing that's given Portland such strong of a cultural identity.
So I know you're at the head of Weird Portland United. How is the organization situating itself to go against these factors that are endangering Portland's weird?
You know, it's tough because I started this thing with just a desire for to take action. I didn't necessarily have an end goal in mind, but I knew that, you know, now was the time. And this is, to a certain degree, a time-sensitive issue. And I had just grown frustrated to the point that I didn't see anything else happening, that I thought that I would give it my shot and hopefully by doing that attract other people of a like mindset that would stand up and say, hey, I like that idea. How can I help? And that we would just grow this thing as a grassroots effort. And so that was kind of my thought is let's just get people talking and having this conversation. And you know, if you disagree with me, that's fine. But I still think it's healthy to have this conversation. And let's figure out, because maybe we'll have this conversation and come to the conclusion that maybe people's minds will be changed, that like people who didn't necessarily give weird too much credit, or those bumper stickers that say weird isn't working or something like that. Mm. Maybe they'll reevaluate it and be like, hey, you know, maybe Portland, you know, you're right. If Portland wasn't quote unquote weird, I think it would lose something. And because a lot of times people don't appreciate what they have, you know, until it's gone.
Yeah.
So let's start by getting people to appreciate what we do have and appreciate the value of weird. And then from there, we can find ways to figure out how we want to perpetuate it and keep it going and make it stronger.
Mm-hmm. So what are some factors that are endangering Portland's weird other than gentrification? Or is gentrification the main thing?
I don't even know if I would say gentrification is the main thing. I would say in a broader sense, it's the pace of growth that's happening. The rate of growth and new construction in Portland and the number of people that are moving here, it's all happening so fast. That there's not time to really think about how what role weird is going to have in our new future. So oftentimes, you know, buildings are torn down and rents go up and people are pushed out. And, you know, it's not necessarily one thing, but it's the result of a whole bunch of things happening all at once. And then one day you wake up and you're like, oh, hey, where'd the weird go?
Yeah, it got priced out.
Exactly. So, you know, let's try and collectively open our eyes and start talking about what that means to us. And if it does mean something to us, how are we going to make sure that that weird sticks around?
Mm-hmm. And so speaking of collectively opening our eyes to making weird stick around, what can the individual do to maintain the health of weird in Portland?
Yeah. So I know a lot of people like to point their fingers at the people moving here being the problem. I don't see that as the problem. I think what we need to do, what I think the reasons that people are now coming to Portland, they've shifted over the years. So back when I came here in 2007, I feel like most people that were moving to Portland, it was a conscious decision. They wanted to be a part of what was going on in Portland. And that still happens now, for sure. But what you're seeing more of that you didn't see so much back then was a lot of people are moving to Portland just because of a job. You know, there's a lot of companies, large companies based here, and, you know, they're hiring from out of state. And it's like, oh, I got this job. I guess I'm moving to, what does it say? Oh, Portland. The weird, in a way, is being diluted by people that don't understand it. And I don't fault them for that. So I think it's our responsibility as we who live here and care about all the great things about Portland. It's our job to teach the people that are coming here who don't know anything about Portland. We need to teach them why Portland is a special place and why they should care about what we have and get them excited and get them to help us keep it going.
What would be on the curriculum for the intake process of like, hey, I just crash landed here. I'm trying to be a better Portland community member. Where do you point them?
I think one of the first things you do is teach them Portland history. There's a number of great books out there. And I don't necessarily mean any one particular facet of Portland history. I mean the good, the bad, all of it. You know, that they should really know about the place that they're living and have that sort of cultural context so they can figure out how they now fit into this larger story that's unfolding and what role and what story they want to tell.
Tell us about the gala and how it hopes to develop momentum for Weird Portland United.
Sure. So this being our first year in existence, 2019, we're hoping to grow and have enough money in 2020 to launch a grant program where we want to try and award a series of these grants to folks that have ideas for keeping Portland weird and doing something different that Portland hasn't seen before. And kind of help them get that idea off the board. So in order to do that, you know, we need some money. And so we're hosting the first Weird Portland Gala, which is, it's going to be a party of everything. But primarily, you know, it's a celebration of our weird spirit. We've got entertainment there. Our headliner is going to be Mosho the Cat Rapper. He's going to be performing on stage. We've got a local Portland band called Sweet and Juicy. They dress up like fruit and play wild psychedelic funk. We're going to have the launch of the Weird Portland Hall of Fame there. We are also going to have a Weird Portland auction with some really weird, unique Portland experiences and items that we will be auctioning off to try and raise as much money as we can. I should also mention that we have... back on in the middle of August, we did a photo shoot with 15 of the weirdest people in Portland that we dubbed the Spirit of Portland photo shoot. And the reason is because we were planning this, you know, we wanted to get all of these Portland icons from Portland's weird past, present, and future gathered together to sort of show our united front and then be able to use this image to try and raise a little bit of money to help what we're doing. And the date that we chose to gather all of these weird people, you know, we had Storm Large there, former Mayor Bud Clark, Darcel, Mr. Statue, Rojo the Llama, Rocket Mean, the founder of the Rose City Rollers.
How much do you feel like Professor Xavier in assembling the X-Men, in the sense that you put out a casting call in Portland, like, hey, superheroes, like, let's get together and put a stop to this encroaching, like, capitalism?
I know. I didn't think of it like that at first, but, you know, once I saw the photograph, I was like, wow, you know, it'd be really cool if someone were to turn this into a comic book and, you know, we all had superpowers and we were battling the forces of normal or something. You know, Portland, we've got such a strong independent comic scene here. You know, maybe there's somebody that wants to run with that idea. Love to talk to them.
So let me get this straight. The Weird Portland United, the X-Men, if you will, of Weird, their mission first and foremost is to preserve the weird in Portland. And beyond that, potentially spreading Portland's weird across the nation.
Right. Again, going back to that idea of ideas that work and spreading and sharing them, you know, I think we've proven by this point that over the years, Weird has done some good here in Portland. I think a lot of other places could probably stand to use a little bit more Weird, and it would probably open their minds and help them from a creative standpoint.
Embrace our imaginations.
Yes.
Cool. Well, Brian, thank you for coming in today. Anything else that we've potentially left out that you want to tap into?
I just want to encourage folks, you know, if the Weird Portland Gala sounds interesting and you want to help us keep Portland weird, please go to our website at weirdportlandunited.org. There you can purchase a ticket for the gala on November 7th, and you can also pre-order your copy of one of those prints and come out and hang with all the weirdos and get it signed. And we're just going to have the wildest, weirdest time that Portland's ever seen.